God. You're so good. You're so awesome. Aren't you glad to know Him and the truth? Amen. God loves to bless His people. We are a part of that, folks. God wants to do, amen, in your life and bless your life. He wants to. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight, fellowshipping with the family of God. Fellowshipping with the family of God. You can be seated. We announced that on March 18th, it's going to be the kickoff of our small groups. We're going to have that Sunday evening, we're going to have the fair, the small groups fair, and they will be trying to get you to join their groups. If you are not going to be leading one, you need to be a part of one. Amen. So also on the if you'd enter all those that we want everybody to be involved, so we're going to have in the afternoon on that Sunday kind of a open forum kind of questions explaining things to you, and you can ask questions, and we'll have some light refreshments there, sort of hold you over until you can go get something to eat. So put your crock pots on, and when you leave here, you can go home and eat your dinner. So keep that in mind, all right? One of the things that we learned when we were at the first church in Texas is that one of the reasons that they do these small groups, it's because it's relational. Everything that we do in living for God is relational. Amen? And so we not only have a relationship with God, we should have a relationship with one another. All right? Is that okay? Three of you? Four of you? All right. Amen. Many people ask the question, what on earth am I here for? You ever heard anybody ask that? Maybe you've asked it. Why am I here? Why are we here? As Christians, we know our primary... can I get a little more monitor, please? Our primary purpose in life is to know and to love God. The Bible calls that worship. You and I were made to bring pleasure to God as we choose to love God back, and worship is responding to God's great love for us. So by loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and our strength, we choose to give God our affection. We give Him our attention, and we give Him our actions. Everything we do, folks, is to please God. That's a lifestyle of worship. So I want to look at our second purpose in life tonight. Did you know there was another purpose? Well, there is. Until we find out what God wants us to do with our lives, we will never be satisfied. Our life will be empty. Amen? So let's look into the Word, and let's discover why God has made us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that He should make Jesus, through His sufferings, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation, or family, another translation says. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what we wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. God is our Heavenly Father, or Abba Father. Amen? And folks, guess what? Our Heavenly Father loves His kids. Do you believe God loves you tonight? As members of his family, we make God happy. So our purpose for life begins by loving God, our Heavenly Father. We continue to fulfill our purpose by letting his love for us overflow to others. So here then is your second purpose for living. To stand with me as we, folks, listen, I'm sorry, I put something in there, shouldn't be. Read with me here tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, respect everyone and love the family of believers. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. God's purpose for your life is simple. Number one, God wants you to learn to love your Heavenly Father. That's your worship. Number two, God wants you to learn to love the other members of the family, your brothers and sisters. Now, maybe you're here saying, I don't like this. I only love Jesus. Well, I hope you're well convicted from you leave here today. God wants us to learn to love each other. That's our second purpose. So the Bible has a word for loving each other. It's fellowship. My second purpose in life is fellowship. Like worship, fellowship is often misunderstood by many people today. So what do you think of when you hear the word fellowship? Anybody? What do you think of? Food? All right. Apostolic, see? Yes. Nice and loud. I can't hear you. Okay. Hanging out. All right. Anybody else? Sharing? It's good. Anything else? Barbecues? He's hungry. Somebody need to feed him. Okay. Got some mints? Throw them his way. Now, some might say a casual conversation, or some would say eating together, right, brother? Others might say going to church. Now, let me give you an illustration of what a lot of times we think fellowship is, okay? You have a couple guys meet. Maybe they meet before church or and have a cup of coffee, or they meet in the lobby after church going on the way out. And this conversation goes something like this. Hey, how's things going? All good. How about you? All pretty good. The same. Although work has been maybe a little crazy. It sounds like a conversation that we kind of hear. Hey, you like the Cavs trade? Oh, I like it. You? Yeah, I like it. I think it was good. Maybe they'll continue to win. Well, I guess we'll see soon enough. Hey, we'll see you later. See you Wednesday. Love you, brother. That sound like a kind of fellowship that we have? Huh? No. You see, folks, they're not fellowshipping. What they're doing, they're shooting the breeze. They're just talking and passing. That's not fellowshipping. Fellowship is loving God's family. Now, why does he want us to learn to love each other? First, it makes us more like God. Because God is love, is he not? And second, he wants his children to learn to get along. How many parents want your children to get along? Wasn't there somebody here a few years back in L.A. said, can't we all just get along? God wants us to get along. Parents will agree. We all want our children to learn to love each other. Hopefully before they kill each other. And three, folks, God wants us to love each other because if we don't love each other here on earth, we will not make heaven our home. 1 John 4:21 says, and he has given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So folks, look, God just took any question out of it. He says, if you're going to love him, you got to love your brother and sister. Now, the Bible makes it plain. We are to love each other. Our fellowship is to be more than just talk. You say, I don't like where this is going, Pastor. God wants us to get connected with each other, just like he wants to be connected, wants us to be connected to him. God, folks, doesn't want ritual. God doesn't want religion. He wants more than casual acquaintances or surface relationships. God wants intimacy. He wants us to love deeply. So how do we do that? How do we love deeply? How are we supposed to love each other? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to look at. The Bible tells us exactly what God expects. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 15, says, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So here's what he's saying. You will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church. God's household, or God's family, is the church. Now, if you have obeyed Acts 2:38, you have been adopted into God's family. You are a member of his household. You are a part of the church. And if people were to ask you, what did you do Wednesday evening? Most of us would answer this: I went to church. Right? Now, we think of church as a place to go. And while we may call this building a church, folks, I want you to understand something. God doesn't. He doesn't. The church is not a place you go to. The church is a family you belong to. That's a big difference. The church is not a building. It's a body. The church is not an institution. It is not an organization. It is not a club. The church is a family. The church is more than a building or a service you attend for a couple hours on Sunday morning or evening or Wednesday night. The church is God's family, of which, folks, we can all be a part of. Now, in God's family, he wants us to love each other, and that's fellowship. Now, we're going to discover what fellowship really is. It is more than small talk. It is even more than a potluck dinner. Sorry, brother. In God's family, real fellowship is expressed at four levels. Number one is membership. Number two is friendship. Number three is partnership. And four is kinship. We're going to look at these things tonight. Fellowship has four levels. And the first level is membership. The first level of fellowship is membership, which means choosing to belong. Okay? We choose to belong to this. This is the most basic level. We all have to start with membership. We have to start to choose to belong. And what that simply means, you choose to get connected and to be a part of the local church family. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, which means outsiders without rights or citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household. God says you belong in his family. That's awesome. I'm glad. The Christian life, folks, is not a matter of believing. It is a matter of belonging, of identifying and connecting with other believers. See, folks, belonging is a choice. Belonging is a choice. When you were born, you were automatically connected to your family and became a part of the human race. You didn't choose your parents. You couldn't pick your grandparents. And as much as you may have liked, you couldn't trade your siblings. So being connected to your family is not a choice. It is a matter of birth. But you have to choose, folks, to identify and belong to God's family. You have to choose that. One of the biggest lies out there is that we are all God's children. It's a lie. No, you are only God's child by making the choice to obey and live for him. And only through Christ are we forgiven and made members of God's family. But that's only the first step. You see, God wants us to choose to belong with his family, the church. Belonging is a choice of membership. You folks, have you ever heard someone say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to belong to any church. You ever heard that? Well, that doesn't make sense. The church is where you live out what it means to be a Christian. That is like saying, I'm a football player, but I don't want to be a part of any team. It doesn't work that way. Right? Or it's like saying, well, I'm a tuba player, but I don't want to be a part of the orchestra. You know what, folks? A tuba player without an orchestra sounds pretty funny. Come on. Can a bee say, oh, I'm a bee, I don't want to be a part of a hive? Right? Can a soldier survive without his buddies in a platoon? A Christian without a church family is an orphan. Come on. You see, folks, God has adopted you into his family, but you must choose to belong. In Romans 12, verse 5 says, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You belong to me, I belong to you. Come on. The church, folks, the church meets your needs and the needs of others. But this only works, folks, as we realize we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to each other. That's what being a servant's all about. That's preferring your brother or your sister. We don't belong to each other. We don't belong to ourselves, we belong to each other. Now you can sum up our first two purposes like this. It's not about me, it's about God. And it's not about me, it's about us. But in Christ, we are members together of one body, one family. People today, many people have the wrong idea about membership. When we think of membership, we think of belonging to a club or an organization. But folks, membership was originally a Christian word which taken from the Bible. You are all members of the body of Christ. So just like your hand is a member of your body, that is how tightly we are connected to each other. And folks, this is not about being a part of a club or wearing the silly hats or anything else the clubs do together. It's not about that. This is about belonging to each other, making the choice to belong to a family. Many so-called Christians today think that they can hop from church to church. And in America, the church is about all about choice. If this church doesn't meet my needs, then I'll go over to that church. Right? If this church offers a special program, well, we'll show up over there. American Christians pick churches like they pick grocery stores. What's on sale this week over here? Right? So, listen, if you want to grow, if you want to see God work in your life, you have to join a body. We are all members of the body of Christ, and we belong to each other. Now, there are two important ways that we can show that we are connected to each other, that we belong together. And first is through membership in a local church. Some people say, why should I join the church? I'll just attend the church. Well, that's like saying to your fiance, why should we get married? We'll just keep dating. Membership in the church, local church, is like my wedding ring. This ring doesn't make me married to my wife, Michelle. This ring only is a symbol of my commitment I made to her as my wife. We are married because of choice we made to love each other. We decided a long time ago that we belong together, and our wedding rings are a reminder of that choice. In Romans 15:5 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Paul's prayer for the church in Rome and our prayer for COP is that God will continue to bring us together with a spirit of unity. Amen? Membership is a choice. Amen? We choose to belong to each other. Fellowship begins with membership as we choose to belong. And then fellowship deepens with friendship. You see, the friendship level gets you more connected with God's family in an important way. Through friendship, we grow together. Friendship is learning to share. In Acts 2:44, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. You see, the early Christians did two important things. They met together and they shared everything. Now, if we're going to grow together, being connected at a deeper level underscores those two things. You cannot develop friendship without meeting together, and you cannot develop friendship without sharing. Friendship is a choice. If you want to have friends, you have to be friendly. It's hard to be friends with somebody who don't like to be friendly. Come on. So make a point. Make a point of getting together with other people and letting them in on your life. Now, I know that the day and age that we live in, folks, you know, you used to hear stories, and you know, we didn't probably see too many. Maybe we saw a little bit. Some of us are a little older. But, you know, you used to drive down the road, and you people be sitting on their porch, on their swing or something, and they wave as you go by. Do you see that anymore today? Do you see anybody on the front porch today? They're usually fenced in the backyard on a deck. Right? And they got this fortress around the backyard. That's just the day we live in. But folks, that's not what God intended the church to do. God wants us to let each other in on our lives. And there's a reason, and we'll get to it. So we have to get together with other people and let them in on your life. Growth in the local church will happen as the members of the family choose to get together and share everything. Now, it's good to call each other brother or sister. But we also need to call each other friend. One of the hardest lessons for children to learn is to share, isn't it? How many of your kids learned the word mine before they learned the word ours? Mine. Mine. Every child has to learn to share. And parents have to help them learn the blessing of sharing and not keeping everything as mine. God is our Heavenly Father, and He wants His children to learn to share. You see, our Heavenly Father says, share everything. Now, obviously, there are lots of things that we can share with each other. And I just can see the minds reeling right now. What is he going to tell me? Okay? First, the Bible says we should learn to share our experiences. You're going, whew. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You and I can learn from the experiences of others. Some people learn the hard way. Others benefit from the experience of others. But not only am I glad I can learn from your experiences, I don't have enough time, folks, to make all the mistakes that you've made. And you don't have enough time to make all the ones I've made. Right? No one knows everything. I don't care what you say. No one knows everything. But everyone can teach someone something. Right? We have all had different experiences that we can share with others to help them. Now think of all the wealth of knowledge that is here right now. In this church tonight, in this church family tonight, there's a wealth of knowledge. And how much could we learn from each other if we had just spent the time to get together? And second, the Bible also says we are to share, here you go, our homes. You say, ain't happening. Talk to Jesus. 1 Peter 4:9. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Now, the Bible doesn't say if they are really nice people, then you can share your home with them. It just says open up your homes. You don't open your homes for inspection. Okay? I don't want anybody going to somebody's house wearing white gloves and just checking everything. Okay? Folks, it's your home. It's not a museum. Right? Why does God want us to open our homes? Why are we to share our homes? And I'm glad you asked that too. First, when we open our homes, we are opening our lives to people. One of the things I've always thought is that our homes, we need to be the priest of our home men or whoever the leader is of the home. There's a lot of dysfunctional home lives in this world today. And people need to go in and feel the presence of God in our homes. And let me just say, if there's no presence of God in your home, maybe you need to get rid of some things and bring some things in, like a Bible, like the Holy Ghost. God wants us to share our homes so we can share our, open up our lives to people. It blows people's minds when they are around you and they see the love of God and they see the happiness. And people begin to watch you. When you welcome someone into your home, you have invited them into your life. And then next, we share our homes because it is impossible to fellowship in a crowd. Come on. You can only fellowship in small group or one-on-one. So while we may all love each other, we're not going to do any fellowshipping here tonight. It is impossible to fellowship with so many people. We can worship together, but we can celebrate together, but we can learn together, but we cannot fellowship together. Fellowship with nearly 100 people in a church service. We are not going to walk out of here and know any more about anybody else than when we first came in. Basically. Right? You know, because we're going to do that. Hey, what did you think of the calves trade? Yeah, it was pretty good. That's the kind of stuff we do. I had a crazy day at work. That's the kind of things. What did you think of the weather? Oh, it was nice yesterday. Today, I can't believe it. It's going dropping down. That's what we do, is it not? Fellowship only takes place in the small group. We grow in friendship as we meet together and share everything. And that is why the Bible says, open up your homes. That's where you really get to know people. Do you know how important opening your home is? You see, for the first 300 years of the Christian church, believers met together in one another's homes. Come on. Yet amazingly, folks, that 300-year period was also one of the fastest periods of growth in the church than any other time in history. Come on. They went from house to house. The church grew best in homes. And the Bible tells us to share our experiences, our homes, and third, we are to share our problems. Whoa, what would you say? Share our problems. None of us were ever meant to face our problems alone. We need each other. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Don't carry your burdens and difficulties by yourself. Let others come along beside you and share the load. Listen to this. When you share a joy, it is doubled. And when you share a problem, it's cut in half. Come on. Come on. When somebody tells you something good, you get all excited with them. But when somebody tells you a problem, you say, you know what? I'm going to pray with you about that. You're cutting it in half for them. I'm going to help you. I'm going to take that on. And I'm going to take that to prayer. That makes me heavy. How many of us were heavy here with Logan the other day? Come on. We cut that in half when we share that. How many has been praying for him this week and fasting? Come on. I know it's all over here. Don't carry your difficulties, your burdens yourself. Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Sometimes in a small group, you die of laughter, and sometimes you're all shedding tears. It all depends on what is going on in the lives of people, your group, during that week. It just depends. But you know what? We're coming together. We're going to be there for each other. I don't care whatever comes our way. We're willing to take it on together. Here's the good news. You don't have to fix everybody's problem. All right? You're not God. You don't have to fix everybody's problem. God hasn't told you to do that. God just says share them with each other. So this means to lend a listening ear, to give a shoulder to cry on, to extend a hand to hold. So we're just simply there for our friends in their time of need. Excuse me. You don't have to fix it. Just share it. Now let's allow God to help us not just sympathize with people, but to empathize with them, to feel their pain, to share it on your knees, not with anybody else. Come on. They didn't ask you to take it to the rest of the church. Come on. So let's allow God to help us. Fellowship begins with membership. It deepens with friendship. And folks, fellowship is strengthened by partnership. Partnership is doing my part. We all have a contribution to make, and only as we each do our part will our church be everything God has planned it to be. God has not brought you to COP just to sit on the pew. Amen? That is not why you are here. God brought you here to serve together with other believers. You believe that? With other believers. Now think about this. God wants to make a difference through your life and mine. So as together we fulfill his purpose and plan for our lives, we will do more together than we could ever do alone. You see, in most families, we all have our chores to do. Okay? In most families, I'm not saying all, but in most families, we all have our chores to do. Let's face it, folks, we are in trouble if we leave everything up to mom. Right? We have to share the load. We are all members of God's family, and the Lord expects us to do our part and share in getting our spiritual chores done. The Bible is filled with the fact that you and I are to work with one another in getting the jobs done. And there are 58 times in the New Testament, folks, that the Bible says we do something with one another. We serve one another. We love one another. We pray with one another. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Co-workers. We are not in this thing alone. We are co-workers working together for God. God has made us for ministry and a mission. We have work to do, and God wants us to do it together. Fellowship begins with membership. It deepens with friendship. It is strengthened through partnership. And finally, folks, fellowship is kinship. Now, kinship is more than just family relations. You know how the South family is called, my kinfolk, right? When you think about kinship or kinfolk, maybe you think about the Beverly Hillbillies. Who knows? But kinship is more than just family. Kinship is your closest relationships. You know, if you have an accident, the hospital will try to contact your next of kin. Right? Those that mean something to you. Those that are close to you. Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to call you your great Aunt Susie or who you haven't seen since the last family reunion. When they call for the next of kin, they're looking for the people who care the most about you. the people closest to you. Now, God wants us to have that kind of attitude toward one another. That's the deepest level of fellowship, is kinship. Kinship is loving believers like family. In Romans 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor. God says, well, we're not just like a family, we are a family. The word for fellowship in the Bible in the Greek is koinonia. Literally, the word means being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. Folks, this gives you a different outlook on people sitting around you. Amen? That is the deepest level of fellowship. Being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. That is more than just family relationships. It is eternal relationships. Kinship is the loving relationship that we share with God's family. Most people know John 3:16, but not too many people know 1 John 3:16. It is just as important as John 3:16 we all know and love. In 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. What this does, this describes the deepest level of fellowship. Loving each other enough to sacrifice our lives for one another. Now, how can you do that if you just talk to somebody about the calves going out the door? Right? Now, as a husband and wife, or maybe a child, you would maybe give your life. But would you do it for just somebody that you casually talk to every now and then and shook their hand and maybe dance with them a little bit? No, you wouldn't. But that's what God is telling us to do. It describes the deepest level of fellowship. Loving each other enough to sacrifice our lives for one another. Loving kinship means we have the same love for each other that Jesus has for all of us. Jesus died for us. He gave all he could give. Kinship is the willingness to do the same. Folks, this is what life is all about. Loving God and loving one another. If you miss this, you have missed your purpose for life. You see, your life is not about your accomplishments. It's not about how much money and the things that you can accumulate. When your life is over, God is not going to ask you to bring your trophies to him. God isn't going to ask you for your diploma. God isn't interested in the gold watch you got for your retirement party. What matters most to God is one thing. What did you do with the love he put into your life? The meaning of life boils down to two simple things. Love God and love people. Loving God, that is called worship. Loving each other, that is called fellowship. And the truth of the matter is, folks, you can't do one without also doing the other. If we are going to fulfill our purpose in life, we have to do both. How do you know if you're in God's family? How do you know if you are fulfilling God's purpose for your life? In 1 John 3:10, anyone who does not love other Christians does not belong to God. 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. That's pretty strong. For if we do not love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Pretty plain. 1 John 3:14, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. That's Bible. That's the proof. Loving God and each other. Not one or the other, both. The greatest privilege you will ever be offered in life is the privilege of being part of God's family. You see, folks, God's family is a laboratory for learning to love. Now, you may have grown up in a home that didn't have a lot of love. And honestly, you don't know how to love. The only love some people know is sexual or romantic love. They don't know any other kind of love. So we have to be taught how to love each other. And the church, the family of God, is where you learn to love real people. Nobody in your small group is ideal, and neither are you. When, folks, we learn to love real people, and that's what God put us on this earth to do, to love real people. Where are you learning to fulfill your purpose? Let's stand. Where are you learning to fulfill your purpose? Is it membership, choosing to belong? Friendship, learn to share? Partnership, doing your part? Kinship, loving believers like family? Folks, this is what we want to do at Church of Pentecost. We want to start these small groups, and we're going to start out just having good time, learning to fellowship. Okay? We will eventually, down the road, get into deeper things, you know, helping, having a group for divorcees or something like that. But right now, we just want to fellowship with each other. Okay? So we can have a cornhole group that likes to play cornhole. God forbid, we could even have a rook group. I'm just kidding. Brother Rob says amen and amen. But this is the kind of thing we want to just start out with. Just get the ball rolling, and we will grow into things. And I am looking forward to what God wants to do. And I pray that you are too. I pray that you're excited. Okay? So this is what we need to do. We need to learn to fellowship. Get to know each other. Carry each other's burdens. Amen. Be joyful with one another. Amen. We can all laugh together. It's a great life living for Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. And I pray, God, that we just leave here changed, Lord, with a different outlook on how to live for you and what we belong to, what we are a part of, the family of Jesus Christ. Bless each one here, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.